From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to another fantastic edition of Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And yes, we are back at it on this Monday, September 21st, 2015. We have a lot to get to, just like we do each and every Monday here on the show as we recap the weekend that was in the sporting world. Michigan State getting a big win over Air Force. Michigan handling business at the Big House against UNLV. Also, the Detroit Lions. They have now started the year off 0-2. Falling, of course, to the Minnesota Vikings yesterday. We'll chat about all three of those matchups, as well as bittersweet news for Michigan State over the weekend. Even though they did get that win over Air Force, they have another man that is down for the rest of the season. All of that and so much more, folks. Again, you know if you want to be a part of today's show, just call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. So much to get to, so little time. Let's dive into the show like we always do and start it with our current sports quick hit headliners for this September 21st. Michigan State top Air Force on Saturday at Spartan Stadium, 35-21. The final of that one, senior quarterback Connor Cook ended up throwing for 247 yards and four TDs, and Aaron Burbridge caught eight passes for 156 yards and three touchdowns. He was good, folks. Spartans linebacker Riley Bulla was ejected for targeting with 2:49 remaining in the game. Michigan State hosted a service academy for the very first time in school history, and the AP poll, latest AP poll, came out yesterday, and Michigan State sits at number two in the nation. Michigan State's highest ranking since 1966. How about that? All right, Michigan State coach Mark D'Antonio confirmed Sunday that starting cornerback Vyonte Copeland is out for the year with a fractured vertebrae, suffered in last week's 31-28 win over Oregon. Senior Arjun Calhoun started in place of Copeland on Saturday, and juniors Darian Hicks and Jermaine Edmondson are still competing for the spot. Four different Michigan players scored TDs in a workmanlike 28-7 win over UNLV at Michigan Stadium Saturday afternoon. Junior Ty Isaac led the charge for a Michigan rushing attack that picked up 254 yards against the overmatched Rebels defense. Michigan's defense held UNLV for 235 total yards and kept the Rebels from reaching the end zone until the fourth quarter. We'll have more on Michigan and Michigan State's matchups this past weekend in just a sec. Michigan State went undefeated in its first weekend of Big Ten competition since 2008 after the women's soccer team drew with the University of Nebraska 0-0 in a double overtime game on Sunday afternoon in DeMartin Stadium. While the Spartans remain undefeated at home, the match marks the third double overtime draw that the Spartans have played to this year. MSU ranks fourth in the conference, tied for 4 points with Northwestern, while the former possesses a higher overall winning percentage. Now, up next for the Spartans, they will face the University of Michigan. That's right, this Friday, September 25th, at home, 4 p.m. start time. Adrian Peterson had 192 total yards, and the Minnesota Vikings rebounded from a rough season opener for a 26-16 victory over the Detroit Lions. Matthew Stafford was erratic for Detroit, which fell behind 14-0 early in the second quarter and netted just 38 yards rushing against a defense that surrendered 230 yards on the ground to the San Francisco 49ers. Next up for the Lions is the Denver Broncos. That's right, Peyton Manning and company, this Sunday night on NBC. Miami Dolphins defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh disregarded play calls from defensive coordinator Kevin Coyle in the team's loss to the Jaguars on Sunday. That is being reported by the Miami Herald. By freelancing at times, Suh created confusion on the Dolphins' defensive line. Suh signed a six-year, $114 million contract with the Dolphins this offseason after spending the first 5 years of his career right here with the Detroit Lions. Kendrys Morales hit three home runs and set a franchise record with 15 total bases, and Paulo Orlando homered and doubled as the Royals pounded the Tigers 10-3 on Sunday at Comerica Park with the win. The Royals trimmed their magic number to clinch the American League Central 2-3. The Royals also increased their lead over the Blue Jays for home field advantage throughout the postseason to 2 games. Alfredo Simon took the loss for the Tigers, giving up 13 hits and 8 runs in 4 1/3 innings. And a few notable high school Friday night results for you. Top-ranked Lansing Catholic, they get cream against Portland 28-6. East Lansing over Lansing Eastern by 50. Okemos falls to Grand Ledge 43-7. Holt over Lansing Everett 35-0. Waverly topping Owosso 49-27. Sexton dropping a heartbreaker to Jackson 35-34. More on high school football as well later on in today's show. But hey, that's it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 to be a part of the show. Without further ado, it's time to get this thing started.
Snap from Jack Allen, pump fake by Connor. Throws it left sideline, left pylon.
He's
Aaron
in there.
Burbridge with a great catch. They're going to say he's out of bounds, though. It looked like he touched down inside the pylon. What a grab by Aaron Burbridge, but they rule it incomplete.
After further review, the receiver got his left foot down, inbounds, with Burbridge control the ball. Touchdown.
We can say it now. Touchdown, MSU.
Three wide receivers in. Bridgewater takes everybody out. Right. Touchdown, Kyle Rudolph, the tight end. A great drive by the Viking.
This is another guy who you want to get involved in the passing game.
Stafford, quick pitch outside, completes it. And the ball comes loose. It's recovered by the Vikings. They give it to the fullback, Zach Line. Touchdown, Vikings. Lions in midfield. And this one is intercepted.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. It's time for Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Monday. Hope you guys had a great weekend. We have a lot to get to. A ton to get to. What you just heard was, of course, George Blaha rocking the mic, calling that Aaron Burbridge just nasty, sick, ill catch against Air Force in the end zone. I don't know how in the world he was able to get that one toe in. But, it made national headlines, folks. I mean, I even tuned in for that Ole Miss an Alabama game, which was a thrilling one to say the least. That game didn't end until about 1:30 in the morning on Saturday night. But during the halftime show, they played an entire montage of some of the notable highlights from Saturday's college football action. And there was one analyst that even called Aaron Burbridge's catch the catch of the year so far in college football. Man, it was everywhere. Just a crazy, crazy catch. And also you heard a snippet from that Lions and Vikings matchup yesterday. The Lions now falling to 0-2 on the year. Oh, tough, folks. So we'll recap. We'll get to the Lions later on, but we're going to start the show by talking a bit of college football. Again, you can call in. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. 95-27. Before we dive into it, though, I have to invite our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, I hope you had a great weekend, my friend. What'd you do? You do anything special?
Yeah, it was a good weekend. In terms of special things that I did, homework, reading a book, calling Amazon, because yesterday I've got a book that I was supposed to read for today. Now, I do have a good excuse at least, but my Kindle broke. So I had to call Amazon,
okay,
order a new one, campaign for that free one-day shipping, and I got it. It was nice going off on somebody, because that's not me. You know that's
really
not me.
You flipped out
a nice
on
guy.
No, Isaac, but you're like, you couldn't harm a butterfly.
I know.
You went off on the phone on Amazon?
I had to, Al. I've got a book to read today that I can't, so... Oh, well,
man.
Not that I was going to read it anyway, in fairness, but that was my excuse. So
your Kindle broke. How'd your Kindle break, man? What'd you do?
Man, that's the thing.
Did you slam it down watching a game this weekend or something like that?
Well, that could have been it. I did.
Watching that Saints game?
Just kidding.
Watching New Orleans this weekend?
That's a different story. That's for how my phone broke, not the Kindle. Kindle's totally separate.
Gotcha.
my Kindle, I just took it with me, and next time I turned it on, it had lines all across the screen, and... You really can't read it anymore, so it's no good. It's all use.
Oh, that's tough, man. Well, a tough weekend for you. But I know you and I both had a good time out at Michigan State and Air Force game at Spartan Stadium. Always a great time covering college football on a Saturday, especially when it's a noon game, because we get a chance to get home at a decent hour. So I literally spent, you know, my Saturday evening just sitting back, filing my report on WKAR.org from that Michigan State and Air Force game. And watching just college football the rest of that night. And then on Sunday, all I did was I tried DraftKings for the very first time.
How'd you do?
It's very I got to say, I love DraftKings because I kind of fell in love with it because it's so easy to win on that thing if you pick just the right lineup. Now, it's tough picking the right lineup. I was about 20 points away from at least banking in like, you know, $5. But I'm starting to get the hang of it, though. I mean, as the day went on, I said, okay, I should have made this move. I should have made that move, but I tried DraftKings. I had, of course, my ESPN and my Yahoo Fantasy teams up and rolling as well, which I kind of struggled in this week. It was a bad day for fantasy football for me, but it was a great time just sitting back in my pajamas and watching football literally all weekend. So a great weekend for me, my man. But first, I want to start off our conversation today by, of course, talking about the Michigan State and Air Force game. Michigan State pulling out a big win over Air Force. And, of course, with Alabama falling to Ole Miss for back-to-back years now, the first time that's ever happened between those two rivals, with Big Dog Alabama losing that game, it opened the door for Michigan State to move up in the polls. Michigan State, of course, is still undefeated with wins against Western, Oregon, and now Air Force. Folks, Michigan State is now the number two college football team in the nation. Oh, my. Hey, I got to give a hand clap for that. That's unbelievable. The first time since, well, actually the highest ranking since 1966. Isaac, you and I weren't even thought of in 1966. The first time we have ever seen Michigan State ranked this high in college football. Quite the accomplishment. But going back to the Air Force game, here's what Coach D and company had to say concerning the Michigan State win.
I think we're 25 or 26-4 after a big game. We're 26-4 the next game. Win or loss in the big game. 26-4, I believe, for the last 7 years. So I thought we came out and played with energy. I thought, as I said, that we played with intensity.
It means a lot to our program. You know, it's a huge stepping stone. You know, we have great respect for Air Force, like I just said, but... We had to win today.
They're out there. They're playing with a lot of pride and you know, a lot of honor. And we wanted to come out and you know, do the same thing and show who we were and let them know that you know they should respect what we do as well. You know, us as well.
Number one, we did win the game. You know, sometimes when games end the way this game did, and even the Western game, you know, the coaches we're nuts. You know, we should all be happy. We won, man. We won the game. But we just—it's just tough, man. It's tough, you know. You want to see us finish better and do a lot of things a lot better.
Big win. What we asked our players, is to match our opponents, the Air Force Academy, in intensity, and in terms of playing with respect. And I thought we did that.
Yes, and then some, right? Again, the voices you just heard were, of course, from head coach of the MSU football team, Mark D'Antonio. Of course, co-defensive coordinator, Harlan Barnett. Defensive back, Demetrius Cox. And, yes, stunning wide receiver for this team, Aaron Burbridge, who had himself a day, 156 yards, 8 catches, 3 touchdowns, and one of those touchdowns that just make you just say, what in the world? Absolutely unbelievable. So looking at the scoring, just to sort of sum up that game, of course, in the first quarter, you had Michigan State striking first, Josiah Price on a 15-yard pass from Connor Cook. Then you had R.J. Williamson, a 64-yard fumble return, a scoop and score for a touchdown, 14-0. Then also in the first quarter, you had Air Force finally getting on the board to make it a 14-7 game. Ben Washington with a one-yard run on a drive that took 11 plays and ticked off 5 minutes for Air Force. In the second quarter is when you had Aaron Burbridge just really making things happen. 28-yard pass from Connor Cook. That took 10 plays, 87 yards on that drive. That extended the lead for MSU to 21-7. Then you had Michael Geiger getting a blocked field goal attempt. That could have extended the lead to 24-7, but that doesn't happen there. Really a low kick from Michael Geiger. And then Aaron Burbridge, once again, a 32-yard pass from Cook. That drive lasted 8 plays, 64 yards. And then Aaron Burbridge, once again, 21-yard pass from Connor Cook, 8 plays, 75 yards. And then you had Air Force rounding things out with the last two scores to make the final 35-21 in favor of the Spartans. A lot of takeaways for me from this game, Isaac, because I thought that there are certainly, like I always say, wrinkles to be ironed out as the season progresses for Michigan State. But for me, I want to talk about the ranking just for a second here, because there certainly was a lot of hoopla surrounded around this. When the AP poll was released yesterday, immediately on social media, on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, many people weighed in on it because, again, this is the highest ranking for the Spartan football team since 1966. So, understandably, many students, many alumni, many Spartan fans in general are right now smiling from ear to ear, and they should be, because I think Michigan State, they deserve to be the number two team in the nation. Now, they deserve to be the number two nation, but do I think that they are the number two team in college football? I got to be honest and say no. I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade. I'm not trying to burst anyone's bubble here. But right now, I just don't think that Michigan State is the number two team in all of college football. I think that's saying a lot right now. Heck, I don't even know if Ohio State, when looking at their struggle against Northern Illinois on Saturday, I don't even know if they're the number one team in the nation right now. I think it's too early to tell, and I think we get too hyped up in rankings. And looking at, you know, how the format has changed now when it comes to college football, when the college football playoff was enacted, and when, you know, you had this discussion about, you know, who are going to be playing for the college football playoff when it comes to the top four teams in the nation, I knew that rankings were going to mean even more, because you are constantly from week to week going to be having this debate about who deserves to be in the playoff, even after week one, week two, let alone week three. So every single week you have everyone breaking down who right now are the top four teams in the playoff. Who would make the playoff right now? And with that being said, you're going to have it hyped up as the weeks go on here. And I think it makes it fun for college football fans. It makes it fun for us, you know, being on Talk Sports Radio, to have that debate and to counter those arguments. But at the same time, it is very premature and it is very early. And looking at what Coach D had to say during his teleconference yesterday, he understands that Michigan State is a very mature ball club that historically has never really cared about rankings. They understand that, yeah, at the end of the day, if you want to compete for a national championship, you have to be among those top four. But at the same time, putting it all in perspective, it is only week three, folks. But for students, for fans, for alumni, go nuts. You deserve it. Michigan State does deserve to be number two, looking at the incredible track record that this team has had the past 2 years throughout the Mark D'Antonio era. This is long overdue. And, hey, hats off to what Coach D and his team has done.
Yeah, it certainly does. And if you remember the last time that Michigan State was ranked number two, was ranked so highly, 1966 wasn't too bad of a year. It really wasn't. They won a national championship.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, stuff along that nature. They had Duffy Daugherty at the helm. So, no, Michigan State looks poised to make a run without doubt. Like you said, number two comes with a lot of pressure, a lot of scrutiny. Do I think that they deserve all of this? Yes. We talked about how they've won the Rose Bowl and the Cotton Bowl in back-to-back seasons, finishing in the top five. That's incredible. That's deserving of a number two ranking. And Ohio State is deserving of the number one because of what they did last season and the starters they returned. However, I think it's still very murky at the top as to who actually are the best teams in the nation.
Right.
Like you said, we saw a great performance this past weekend from Mississippi, Ole Miss. So they might be up there. LSU might be up there. TCU might be up there. We've got to see so much of the season develop, like you said. But, no, it's a great position for Michigan State to be in. And like you said last time, rankings matter. At the end of the day, they matter. There are four teams that get into the playoffs.
You can't ignore it. You can't ignore it.
Last year.
And this is the conversation that comes up with this, Isaac, because Michigan State, I think if they continue to handle their business, they're going to be favorites. And I said this after the Oregon game. Michigan State is going to be a double-digit favorite in every single one of their games leading up to that November 21st matchup against Ohio State. And now that Ohio State is number one and Michigan State is number two, the question is whether or not Michigan State and Ohio State are going to come into that game as the top two teams in the nation. If they are, that is clearly going to be the matchup of the year, one of the most hyped Michigan State football games in this program's history, and it's going to come with a lot of fanfare, point blank period. But at the same time, Michigan State in their program, and Coach D is also weighed in on this, on the road, looking at the schedule from here on out to November 21st, in order for Michigan State to stay at number two, they got to do it with a bit of style, with a bit of swag. They have to make their wins look like just complete blowouts. They can't keep it close, because if they don't, then, looking at the entire, you know, realm of college football, if there are other teams out there that are completely dominating throughout their tenure, throughout their schedule, then maybe Michigan State falls to number three, or maybe they fall to number four. But I still think they will stay in the top five. But Michigan State is not known to have these astronomical wins where they're blowing teams out by like 40 or 50 points. And as much as I hate it, and as much as many people hate it when looking at the college football scene and looking at voters and how the AP poll structures, style points do matter. How you win does matter. So let's say Michigan State, you know, squeaks out a win against, I don't know, like Nebraska by just a touchdown. Will they still be the number two team in the nation? I don't know. What do you think about that whole thing when it comes to beating teams, you know, and making sure you cover the spread and making sure you make wins look good? Because at the end of the day, a win is a win, Isaac.
Yeah, Al, I do think it matters how much you win by and with the class that you win. And I think that argument also extends to losing. For example, if Michigan State goes to Ohio State and gets blown out, that's going to drop him significantly. If that's a really good game and a loss to a number one team, they might only drop two spots. So it goes on both sides. However, yeah, you've got to win with some class now, because also Western Michigan, Air Force, both are very good teams. Western Michigan won 8 games last season, made a bowl game. Air Force won their bowl game, won 10 games last season.
Mm-hmm.
But those aren't names commonly recognized by the average college football fan as, wow, those are some good teams. So although Michigan State won with a little bit of safety and a little bit of a cushion in those games, those were still only 2 touchdown wins. So if Michigan State then goes to Central, wins by 2 touchdowns, or stays here, but, you know, beats Central by 2 touchdowns, Rutgers, things like that, or Nebraska, like you said, if that's a 1 touchdown squeaker of a game.
And what a heartbreaker for Nebraska. Good. Did you see
it
Nebraska and Miami?
I felt so bad for them.
I couldn't believe what took place, dude. I'm sitting there like, oh my, I really felt bad for them because they really played their tails off in that game. But yeah, and going back to what you said, I mean, yeah, it does factor in a lot because, you know, looking at Michigan State and Air Force, I mean, Michigan State didn't even cover the spread in that game. The spread was actually 23.5. And stuff like that does matter to the AP voters at the end of the day. So, but we all saw, you know, what took place last year. I always bring up this. Ohio State, the defending national champions in the world of college football. If you look at how they started their year last year, I always bring up how Ohio State lost to Virginia Tech. It's all about the eye test. Whatever teams are looking the most solid at the end of the year, those are the teams that are going to be in the college football playoff. Point blank, period. So even with this talk about Alabama falling to Ole Miss, if Alabama completely dominates throughout the rest of the year, I think that you can legitimately make a case, and I wouldn't be surprised if they are still in that college football playoff. It's all about how you look at the end of the season.
And
that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, we saw this last year in multiple aspects as well, because if you remember, Baylor and TCU were both ranked above Ohio State in that last week of the AP polls.
Right.
Ohio State leapfrogged both of them to catapult themselves into number four. So rankings matter. But at the same time, if you're not winning pretty, if you're not, you know, having a good form, your best style of football going into that end stretch of the season, as Ohio State was, and maybe Baylor and TCU weren't.
And then looking at what happened between Baylor and TCU.
Exactly.
And, you know, earlier in the year. And then we saw what happened when it comes to the final votes in that. So there's so many factors that weigh into it. But at the end of the day, celebrate this moment because it is a big one.
It's a
Michigan State being number two in the college football world. That is such a great accomplishment and well overdue, I think, for Coach D. He's done a great job. And, you know, this year, it just shows you that a lot of people are paying attention to this team. And if you are a Michigan fan, and I put this on my Facebook page yesterday. If you are a Michigan fan, and did you see that? I kind of
took
a
quite jab. A few likes for it, too.
I got 95 likes, like five different
shares. Yeah, pretty popular.
But the first thing that came to my mind, when I looked at, you know, Ohio State and Michigan State being atop, you know, the AP poll, like, you can only imagine what is going through the head of a Michigan Wolverine fan or student or whatever. If you're a fan of the Wolverines, I can only imagine what went through their head when they saw, you know, two of their rivals in Ohio State and Michigan State atop the college football world. Wow. Boom goes the dynamite. Oh, I tell you. Now, really, before we hit this first break here, Isaac, breaking down the Michigan State and Air Force game, again, there are wrinkles to iron out for this team. What really stood out to me was when you really look at the stats of this game, and this is something that I noted throughout its entirety, the rush yard differential. Now, of course, Air Force, they come at you with that triple option, which is very confusing at times, and it makes it very tough to defend because they're attacking you from many different angles. But look at the run disparity as far as on-the-ground attack. Air Force, they finished with 279 yards on the ground to Michigan State's 77. Average yards per rush here. Air Force averaged 5.5 yards a carry. Michigan State couldn't even crack 2 yards a carry. Through the air, there was a disparity. Air Force, 149 yards through the air. Michigan State, 247. But Madre London, LJ Scott, we even saw Gerald Holmes in that game as well, just could not get anything going in that game. Oh, my goodness. And this is really the first time, and we had to double-check this stat because actually you chatted with Zach Berridge of Channel 10 on this stat when you came up in the press box during halftime, Isaac. And I didn't know that this was the first time this year, looking at that Air Force game, that Connor Cook was sacked. I had no idea. And Air Force really made Connor Cook uncomfortable with pocket pressure throughout that entire game. We saw, you know, Connor make sporadic decisions when he was pressured. I noted an intentional grounding with 45 seconds left in the second quarter. And this is a stat that's really glaring, that really puts this in perspective. Air Force, when it comes to the on-the-ground attack, Air Force ran for 104 yards in the first quarter against Michigan State, marking the first time since 2012, my senior year of college, when Michigan State lost to Nebraska 28-24, that Michigan State allowed 100-plus yards in the first quarter when it comes to on-the-ground. That's crazy. Air Force, 104 yards on the ground in the first quarter in 15 minutes of play? That's craziness. That can't happen. And then special teams, Michael Geiger, his low kick. Special teams is something that we're constantly bringing up game after game after game now for the third week that Michigan State needs to really shore up. So there's things for this team to work on. But looking at, you know, the production that you saw from Aaron Burbridge, I mean, my goodness. Is he becoming, you know, what last year's Tony Lippett was for Cook or what? I mean, my goodness, he is fantastic. So there are things for this team to work on, and that's why I say Michigan State certainly deserves to be the number two team in college football. I just don't know if they are right now.
Yeah, I agree, Al. And like you said, that special teams continues to be a worry. Actually, it was funny because during the game, I came up and said, Michigan State special teams is looking pretty good right now.
See that? I wasn't even going to call you out, bro.
I know. I'll call myself
out
for this. So Michigan State special teams is looking pretty good right now. And Jack Hebbing's like, well, yeah, except for that blocked punt. Or blocked field goal,
right. Excuse me. Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Well, I meant during the punt game, deep punts, no returns, just about right after that. Hartberger boots one 25 yards that goes out of bounds around the 50. So, no, the special teams, you still have to clean it up. One thing that impressed me, and this is in direct contrast to yesterday's Lions game, was Air Force using the run to set up the pass. Yes, Michigan State's secondary was good throughout it, but they did get drawn in by that run. And we saw, especially towards the end of the game, Carson Roberts exploiting that deep ball, use it 6 of 9 for 149 yards, a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And Michigan State, they were under fire. We were thinking if they did not have some of those deep goal line stands like they did against Oregon, that would have been a one touchdown game. So that would have, it really was a better game than the score indicates.
Yeah.
Air Force is a better team too than people give them credit for.
Oh, they certainly are, but Michigan State has to learn how to step on the throat. I think they get too complacent at times, and that's the thing that they have to keep that energy throughout an entire game. That's the big thing with MSU. But at the end of the day, I mean, looking at that defense, you know, there's a lot of missed tackles, you know, from different players. Vyontae Copeland being out for the rest of the year, that is going to hurt Michigan State because I believed that was now their best defensive back that they had on that squad. So other guys are going to have to step up. Losing Copeland out, your secondary takes another hit. You know, a secondary that already had question marks coming into this year. And also, I don't know what the NCAA is going to do concerning this whole Riley Bulla targeting play. Didn't really get a good look at that play, but I just kind of thought it was just in, you know, from looking at it from when I was in the press box, looked like it was just in the motion of the game. I don't know if it was directly targeting. So they may reverse it. Who knows? But if they don't, I know Riley may have to sit out maybe a quarter or a half. Looking at their next game,
a half
or something like that against CMU. So we'll see what happens there as well. But certainly some things to iron out. It's going to be an interesting presser tomorrow to hear Coach D's thoughts on being ranked number two in the nation, as well as things for this team to work on as the season progresses. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat about Michigan topping UNLV Saturday at home. Also, the Detroit Lions now falling, to 0-2 on the year. Oh, that's nasty, folks. All of that and so much more. You are tuned into Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. What's up, beautiful people? Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Gotta remind you all that, hey, Wednesday. That's right, each and every Wednesday here at the WKAR TV studios, we tape Current Sports TV. Last week, of course, I had a great time inviting D.A. Jones, who is a youth football coach for the Kappa Express. It was a great time chatting with D.A. as he gave us insight into the youth football world. But this week, we're going to talk a little high school football with Eric Doc Love, who is high school sports commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. Doc is going to join me on the show. Again, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, all you got to do is simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. As you guys know, we tape in front of a live studio audience. Always a fun time each and every Wednesday afternoon. Again, we're switching to 6 p.m. Wednesday evenings, I should say, during the months of October. So definitely be on the lookout for that. And we will keep you updated and remind you all as the days wind down here on the show. All right. Well, folks, let's talk a little Michigan football. Michigan was able to get a 28-7 win over UNLV. The Rebels. Now fall to 0-3. Michigan improves to 2-1 and 2-0 at home. And folks, you know, interesting tidbit right here. For the first time in a year, exactly 365 days, looking at Saturday's date at least, this is the first time in a year that Michigan has had a winning record. How about that? They are above 500 for the first time in 365 days. How about that? Now, the Wolverines, they really, you know, for me, Isaac, they really weren't challenged on Saturday. I mean, they're playing UNLV, a team that is not that great. Again, UNLV is 0-3 now. But, you know, they seem to be, you know, getting some things together. I'm still not sold on Jake Rudock, though. I don't know. He was 14 of 22 for 123 yards. He threw one touchdown. He also threw one interception. So he's thrown an interception, I believe, in each game that he has started for the Wolverines. I'm just not sold on Rudock. You know, he was a backup. He lost that job when he was at Iowa. And looking at, because I didn't get a chance to catch the entire game. I only caught highlights because, of course, we were covering that MSU and Air Force game. But looking at what I saw from Rudock, I mean, he just seems, as far as his accuracy goes, he likes to, he could be an accurate passer when he's in the pocket and has time. But when he's on the move and is forced to make a decision with the football, at times is not always the greatest decision. So I'm not sold on Rudock as the guy right now. Again, it's still early in the year. It is just week three. He can get better. It all comes down to coaching for me. I think Jim Harbaugh and his coaching staff, as the weeks go by here, I think they are going to make sure that they talk to Rudock and look at the film and show him what he's doing wrong. And it's going to be up to them to make sure that they transform him into a good game managing quarterback at the end of the day. I think he can become that. But right now, I'm just not totally sold on him. I think that as far as the run attack goes, Michigan State has plenty to work with. Ty Isaac, your boy, 8 carries, 114 yards. He looked great. He had a touchdown. Also ran for that long 76-yarder. He looked great. Davion Smith, I think, is another guy who can make some things happen. He didn't have quite the day as Isaac, but he had 13 carries. For 33 yards, just 2 yards a carry. I think, you know, there's things to build upon when you talk about guys in the backfield. Also, the receiving for Michigan. I really believe that Darbo is going to, you know, be something special as the year goes on. But I really think that Michigan right now, they haven't really been tested other than at the beginning of the year. Again, week one, though, when playing a Utah team that was certainly favored in that game. They will go on to play BYU, a team who is ranked 22 in the nation right now. They're going to play BYU this Saturday at noon. I think we will legitimately see exactly where this team is at this point in the year. This will be a good litmus test to see where Michigan is right now when they do take on BYU this weekend.
Yeah, I think so too, because not to be the bully on the block, but UNLV, you can't emphasize enough that they are not a good football team. I'm sorry. They're just not. They were predicted by Athlon Sports to finish 122nd of 128 teams in the FBS. They're not good. So a 28-7 win, sure, Michigan did most things right. But like you said, Rudock, I'm still not sold. The offensive line still has plenty of faults. Now, the Michigan running game is good. It really is. Davion Smith and Ty Isaac now have had alternating weeks of utter dominance where Davion Smith, the week before, rushed for 23 times and 126 yards with 3 touchdowns. And this time you talk about Ty Isaac with the 8-carry, 114-yard game. That's big. So Michigan, there are certainly positives. There's certainly improvement. But at the same time, these last two games, I don't think it's a fair judgment, like you said. I think we'll see BYU, who's coming off a really rough loss to UCLA, we'll see how much they push Michigan. If Michigan can beat BYU, I'm ready to give them some optimism, some light on the season. So
yeah, definitely. And I think right now, I mean, they're solid. I mean, they're getting wins right now. I mean, they're 2-1. I think the offensive line is playing better. I will say that, especially when compared to last year.
Oh, of course.
Without a doubt. And, you know, on the defensive side of things, I think that secondary is playing pretty solid. I mean, Michigan's pass defense, they held UNLV to under 100 yards through the air until the final drive of Saturday's game. And more than half of that total came on one play. Now, after holding Oregon State to just one completion for 0 yards last week in a win against, of course, Oregon State, the Wolverine secondary is playing pretty stingy. So I'm very impressed at the way that those DBs and those linebackers have really done a great job at containing and not allowing big plays to happen down the field. So that's also a positive for this team.
How about Jabril Peppers? That kid
Fantastic.
Is a star.
He's best athlete on that team.
He is. He's one of the best safeties right now that I've seen in the entire NCAA. And he's a freshman. I mean, this is going to be a team that will be good in the future. But like you said, a lot of holes still showing. Again, Oregon State, to go back to them, they were the 9th youngest team in the FBS as well. There's still a lot of room to grow with that team, but that wasn't much of a test for Michigan. With that being said, against both UNLV and Oregon State, Michigan passed it with both tests with fairly easy games.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's a good sign for Michigan. They've certainly improved since week one. We'll see how good they are against BYU.
Yeah, I think this weekend is certainly going to be a tale of the tape, to say the least. All right, let's talk Lions. Yeah, you can tell I really want to talk about this, right, folks? Yeah, let's talk about the Detroit Lions. They fell to 0-2 on the year, losing to the Minnesota Vikings 26-16. A very just not entertaining game whatsoever. It was really boring, to be honest. I sat there and watched the entire game. That offense, you know, with I gotta get this off my chest, Isaac. I think, and I agree. I was watching last night. I was doing laundry at like 1 a.m., right? Who does laundry at 1 a.m.? But I was doing laundry. And, you know, with all of the football games that are on local TV, you know, a lot of the local shows from around the area get pushed to later time slots. So Jack Ebling's Press Pass was on, right? And I happened to tune in. And Doug Warren, I love Doug, great guy. And he's such a diehard Lions fan. And Doug was on there. And I have to agree with the very, you know, eloquent rant that he had last night. And Doug talked about how he believes that Joe Lombardi, just like Brad Ausmus for the Detroit Tigers, manager for the Detroit Tigers, is on the hot seat. I think that Joe Lombardi, and I have to agree with him, I think that Joe Lombardi is on the hot seat right now, just like Brad Ausmus is for the Detroit Tigers. We all know, I don't need to get into the specifics of why Brad Ausmus is on the hot seat right now. But looking at Joe Lombardi, and his play calling, even though it's only 2 weeks that have gone by in the NFL regular season, Joe Lombardi's play calling has been absolutely horrid. Like, just terrible. Like scratching my head, like, what are you doing? Bad. I don't know how many ways I can say bad, folks. But Joe Lombardi and what he has orchestrated so far for this offense, which is one of the most talented offenses that the Detroit franchise has ever seen. I mean, you got the best wide receiver in all of football in Megatron. You have Amir Abdullah, who was a stud when he was in college, and looking at, you know, the preseason and even week one with that one touchdown run that he had, he's a star and a kid who I think is going to be a star in this league. You have an incredible wide receiver to complement Megatron in Golden Tate. You got Matthew Stafford, who is an above-average quarterback, I believe, but they just can't win games. And I just don't get it. And I don't understand how, because for me, when it comes to the NFL, if you want to win ball games, Isaac, you got to be balanced. You got to have a running attack, and you got to have a good through-the-air attack. You got, again, we all harped on, you know, Joe Lombardi and Jim Caldwell, for that matter, on how in the world do you have one of the biggest weapons. He's a cheat code. You got a cheat code in the NFL in Calvin Johnson, and you only throw the ball to him 4 times. So I stated that Calvin Johnson had to have at least 8 targets or more. That was no problem. Matthew Stafford was forcing Calvin Johnson to football all day long. I said 8. Guess how many targets that Matthew Stafford had when it came to trying to find CJ? 17. That's how you do it. That's how it's done. Calvin Johnson had 10 receptions for 83 yards and a touchdown. But balance, folks. You can't just constantly heave the ball through the air, especially when you have an offensive line that doesn't look to be that good. That offensive line for Detroit could not guard anyone. They couldn't guard a flock of chickens, let alone 300-pound defensive linemen. It was unbelievable watching how many times Matthew Stafford was pressured and how many times he ate grass. That can't happen. And Golden Tate had some glaring comments after the game yesterday, and he stated, hey, we got to protect Matthew Stafford. We have to protect our quarterback. Because any QB, for that matter, if you fall on the ground that many times and you get hit that amount of times, your career is not going to last. And even when it comes to having your quarterback's back, how about the play when Matthew Stafford runs for the first down? He gets shoved out of bounds on a late hit, and no one comes to his aid. No one on the bench. And this happened on the Lions bench. No one from that Lions bench came in and shoved the guy or said anything to him. Matthew Stafford got beefy with the guy himself and got in his face and said, what are you doing, dude? Like, I just don't understand it, man. And, you know, that's my rant for the day. There's a lot of things this team needs to figure out. And looking at, you know, their upcoming schedule, man, the Lions could go like 0-5 to start the year now, Isaac. I told a stat of how last week teams in the NFL that start 0-2 to start the year make the playoffs less than 10% of the time, folks. They go on to play the great Peyton Manning on Sunday Night Football this Sunday. Then they go on to play the Seattle Seahawks, which have been competing for a Super Bowl for about, you know, 3 years now. Then they go on to play a very good Arizona Cardinals team. I don't know. I don't think the Lions are beating any 3 of those teams. I don't know, though.
Yeah, Al, I'm with you. Because also you talk about that drop-off from week 1 to week 2 of likelihood of making the playoffs. Going 1-1, you're over 40% likely to make the playoffs. Like you said, week 2, how about that for a drop-off? Below 10%? So, mm-hmm. You said, I alluded to this earlier in the show. Air Force opened up their pass game late in the game with passing, but the Lions, they just stuck dogmatically to the pass, and therefore they couldn't get a run game going, and Matthew Stafford was always under pressure.
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. It was really, really bad. I don't know how many times I can say that. It was bad. And looking at Jim Caldwell, he made comments concerning whether or not QB Matthew Stafford would be available versus Denver. Stafford was hit at least 8 times in week 2's loss to the Vikings. Caldwell added, quote, he's very, very sore. There's no question about that. He got hit far too many times. You think you got to protect your quarterback. You got to protect your quarterback. So I don't know, man. This team could easily, you know, go 0-5 to start the season. And it's looking pretty bad right now. So what do you think? Our phone lines are open. You just heard it ringing. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this edition of WKAR's Current Sports by bringing you our weekend winners. Beautiful people, you are tuned into Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Again, our phone lines are open with 10 minutes left in the show. 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We have our dear friend of the show, my man Kurt from Grand Ledge. How you doing, Kurt?
Just fine, Al. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear, my friend.
Okay. I didn't hear the bird that I usually get when you guys cut in. Anyway, so I hear you talking about the line.
Yeah.
And, you know, while I agree with what you're saying about the offense, the other thing that I notice is that they clearly are not as good against the run this year as they were in the past. And maybe Terrell Austin should have thought about taking a job as a head coach someplace while his standing was in, you know, in good stead. But
right.
Here's the other thing, though, I would like to say. Have we had a return to the days of Wayne Fonts? And by that I mean, if you remember under Wayne Fonts, although you're a young guy, you may not remember.
I'm racking my brain. I'm digging deep here. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, what happened is every other year they'd have a good year.
Right.
You know, so they'd make the playoffs and lose in the playoffs, and then everybody'd be excited about the next year, and then they'd go 4-12, and then they'd get a better draft choice, and then the next year they'd have a good year and lose in the playoffs, and, you know, it was that way all over again. And, you know, Wayne Fonts is like the archetype for Lions futility in a lot of ways, in that they would get excited about things, they'd have talented people, and then just never quite get over the hump.
Right.
So
right.
I'm just wondering if we have had a return to that kind of stuff, and if so, given what we've seen after Wayne Fonts, maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, maybe. No, that's a very good point, Kurt. And like you said, it's like a roller coaster right now because, you know, looking at this squad, this is a team that clearly has a lot of talent on it. I just don't think that it's being utilized to its maximum potential whatsoever. And you talk about that defense. I'm glad you brought up the defense because the defense has problems as well. And I think the biggest, and I said this last week, Kirk, the biggest problem with that Lions defense right now is that they are certainly missing DeAndre Levy, without a doubt, because they can't cover anybody. Those short dump routes, you know, that lead to constant first downs that the Lions are constantly giving up is hurting this ball club immensely. And I don't think that defensive line either, even with the addition of Haloti Ngata in the absence of Ndamukong Suh to Miami, I don't think it's as good as last year's was. So they are hurting in multiple ways here, Kurt.
I agree wholeheartedly. I just
yeah.
I didn't realize what their schedule was, but when you told me who the next three teams were on the schedule,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, 0-5 is a very good possibility. Matter of fact, I'd be more willing to lay money on them going 0-5 right now than I would that they even win one of the next three.
I'm telling you, you would be a smart man, you know, to place that bet there. I tell you, hey Kirk, always a great call, my man. Appreciate you calling in.
Take care, Al. Bye.
Thank you. All right. Well, enough with my rant about the Lions. Let's wrap this show up by bringing you our weekend winner. So who exactly had the best weekend? Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
That's right. It is time for Weekend Winners, where each and every Monday here on WKAR's Current Sports, we take a look at the weekend that was and bring to you who we thought had the best weekend in sports and beyond. Isaac, I got to start with your boy from LSU, Leonard Fournette, a guy who I put on my Heisman watch list before the season started, and he is certainly making me look like a genius, at least right now. 228 yards on 19 carries. And 3 touchdowns. I don't know if you saw that one touchdown, but it was like something like from Madden, dude, where the defender comes on him, he goes over his shoulder and just shrugs him off and takes it to the house. He is a beast. The 7th most single game yards in school history by Leonard Fournette. Absolutely stunning. Baker Mayfield, also for OU, he had a total of 572 total yards, 6 touchdowns. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Shout out to Baker Mayfield as well. Aaron Burbridge is also on my list, 156 yards, 8 catches, 3 touchdowns. Tom Brady, All that talk that Rex Ryan did for the Buffalo Bills, Tom Brady makes them look like just fools. 38 completions, 54 pass attempts, 466 yards, the second most of his career. Tom Brady with a big get. How about Cassius Winston committing to MSU on Friday? And also Viola Davis from the Emmys. Do we have her? Oh, we got her. Viola Davis. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Viola Davis, she won an incredible award. Actually, she's the first African American to win lead in a drama series. And here was her speech. Isaac's saying, "No, Al, don't throw it to it. We don't have it." So I don't think we have that bite. But we're gonna play that tomorrow because I think it's an important bite that a lot of people need to hear. And actually, I'm gonna post it on my Facebook page. So if you didn't hear what she had to say, follow us on Facebook.com/currentsports. But it was a riveting speech, Isaac. You're killing me, Isaac. I'm going to jump through that glass right now.
Yeah, I didn't see it uploaded. My fault. So
maybe it's my fault. Maybe I didn't upload it. But yeah, you got to check it out. Who are your weekend winners?
Anyway, dude? Though, I got to chime in on Leonard Fournette. I watched this kid in high school when he was just a freshman starting on a top 25 national team in New Orleans, Louisiana. What I think makes him so good and maybe better than Adrian Peterson in the future.
Stop.
That's a bold prediction, but maybe it's possible. So I think what he's able to do is retain his momentum going forward and going in and out of jukes to just truck defenders. So, yes, he's definitely one of my weekend winners. And in that game, he didn't really play past halfway through the third quarter. Then Grayson Lambert as well for Georgia, setting the NCAA single game record for pass completion. 24 of 25. That's a practice number. That's ridiculous. And then also, how about Kirk Cousins? He was pretty decent yesterday. He led the Redskins to a 24-10 win and was 23 of 27 for 203 yards. Not too bad from Kirk Cousins. So,
yeah,
those are my weekend winners.
Yeah, and that was a big win for Washington coming off that that week one loss. But, yeah, I mean, Kirk, I think he's getting better with time. But again, you know, as the competition increases, we'll see where the Redskins end up in the thick of things. But overall, interesting weekend. And again, and shout out to Tom Izzo for getting for getting Cassius Winston to commit to Michigan State, because I really think I was chatting with Charlie Bell, who was inducted into the Michigan State Athletics Hall of Fame. I ran into Charlie in the lobby right before the Michigan State Air Force game. We chatted for about 15 minutes. I'm actually supposed to be going golfing with Charlie next weekend. How about that? That should be interesting. But anyway, Charlie was talking about how with that get and with, you know, looking at the others, other players who have committed to this squad, and even if they get, you know, Bridges to commit as well, you know, Winston and Bridges being very, very close, we could see maybe another Fab Five in the state of Michigan. I know that's saying a lot, but maybe. I mean, that could be, you know, a big recruiting class for Izzo and company. So, but yeah. All right, folks. Well, we have to say goodbye, but I want to give a special thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to today's edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. If you happen to miss our show or tuned in late again, you can catch every episode that we've done in Current Sports Radio history by simply going to WKAR.org. Have a fantastic start to your week and happy Monday once again, folks. Be easy, people.